93.3 and KNDE HD4, K274CM, College Station, Bryan.
I'm Rich Ackerman. This report is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave, now with new rust-proof aluminum bottoms. All-star Sonny Gray has looked like anything but so far. The Angels have broken out with four in the first against Gray, who has given up five hits. All of those runs are earned. David Freese with an RBI single to make it a 4-0 game. Right now at Wrigley Field, wind blowing out today, and the Reds, after blowing a 2-0 lead, have gone in front again by a score of 4-2. As Brian Peña with a RBI groundout to make it a 4-2 game. Jason Hamill going only five innings for the Cubs today, who have gotten home runs from Tommy La Stella and Anthony Rizzo. For Rizzo, it was his 27th of the season. And earlier today, it was Miami over Atlanta by a score of 7-3. The Dodgers and Giants conclude their series in L.A. tonight. The Giants are trying to avoid being swept and will have to face Clayton Kershaw. Last night, Zach Greinke got the better of Madison Bumgarner to drop the Giants 5.5 games back, but with five games left against each other. Manager Bruce Bochy said the Giants still alive.
It's in our hands, and it's about winning now, and we just came up short here at first two. We got to work it out tomorrow, and you got to find a way. And these guys have had their backs against the wall as much as any team in baseball in recent history. And they find a way.
They'll face three-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw tonight. Colts defensive lineman Arthur Jones will reportedly undergo ankle surgery and could miss the entire season. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Get benched. It's me, Pharrell, from Pharrell on the Bench. Don't miss my show weeknights from 10 to 2 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Unlimited Potential, a mentoring program run by Voices for Children, is looking for mentors to empower current and former foster youth ages 16 to 25. Email Kate Mason at kmason@voicesforchildren.org. Camp Life is now accepting applications for the weekend of October 23rd. The camp provides recreation for children ages 5 to 21 with disabilities and their siblings ages 5 to 12. For more information, contact Amy Day at 862-2913. Today, 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 91. Tonight, slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy and 74. It's another spirit stop with the Zone and Buppy's Barbecue when Aggie Volleyball takes on Wichita State this Saturday at noon at Reed Arena. Stop by the Zone tent and register to win a Zone care package. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Sealy Outdoors invites you to make plans to win your share of $500,000 in guaranteed cash and prizes at the Big Bass Splash, presented by Sealy Outdoors and BASS on Lake Fork, Texas, September 18th, 19th, and 20th at Lake Fork Marina. 3 days of fishing, family, and fun with prizes such as Triton bass boats powered by Mercury Marine, equipped with Minn Kota, Power Pole, Lowrance Electronics and Navionics, Ram trucks, and more. New for this year, 15 places will be paid in cash each hour for the 15 single heaviest bass brought to the scales that hour. Plus, you can win in the early bird drawing, exact weight contest, elimination drawing, and open drawing. Children 12 and under may participate in the Little Anglers Division and win Academy gift cards and ribbons. For more information, stop by your local Academy Sports and Outdoors and get your official Big Bass Splash entry form. Call 888-698-2591 or go online to SealyOutdoors.com.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Your home for Houston Astros baseball. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out MSCOpus.org for all the information on all the great events and shows coming to the season that dreams are made of. Again, all the information on tickets and all that good stuff is at MSCOpus.org. Kroom, I have a little bit of a Twitter question during the break between some people, and I'm involved in this thing. What is defined as an upset? Like, are we going by, like, the polls? Or has the Vegas voting line become so, you know, it's so you can access it anywhere these days that the question is, A&M's favored on Saturday.
Right.
By 3.5 to 3, depending on where you're looking. So by that definition, there's no way A&M can be an upset. However, several people on Twitter are saying, if the other team is ranked 15th and you're unranked, it's an upset no matter what Vegas says.
I'm a Vegas guy.
Yeah?
I think that if you're, you know, because they're the ones. I mean, that's
what right. Don't they
check,
make
check
you.
Check their records. I mean, they're pretty good at those things.
They are who determines the favorite, right?
Right. In fact, it's funny you bring that up because just last night I said something to Cease about, you know, they ought to just get rid of all the polls and let Vegas decide who's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah,
and whatever. You know, all the way down to 125.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, you know, they all have their issues, but Vegas doesn't have an issue. It's all, you know, it's money.
Yeah.
It's, you know, trying to get a 50-50 bet.
Yeah, so, I mean, that, I don't know. Maybe
that question was asked one of the, I think it was asked of Trey, maybe, about being an underdog. You know, feel like being the underdog, and my first thought there, because, and I knew why I'd asked that because of what you just said about the polls, but my first thought was they're not the underdogs.
No,
they're favored.
Yeah, they are favored. I don't know. I part of me does think if an unranked one is, and I got on to Cease a little bit for this too because he did the same thing. He has Arizona State ranked and not A&M, but thinks A&M is going to win.
Yeah,
and so that's to me shows that polls, and that's not to say that that's the job of the poll. The depending on the voter, the job of the poll could be very different. You know, you could vote based on who you think the 25 best teams are in order, or who you think are the most deserving teams.
Or you could be basing it on who you think might be the four teams that make the playoffs.
Right.
And
right.
Maybe that people think Arizona State has a better chance out of the Pac-12.
Yeah, even if they lose to A&M, you mm-hmm. still like the schedule they have left. So a lot of different things in the polls. So I think you got to go by the Vegas thing. So I'm with you here. I don't think it could be an upset. No. I brought this up because I've seen several, like, I'm calling A&M to win in my upset of the week columns.
Yeah, it's not an upset.
But it's not. You can't. It's not an upset if that's not how that works.
And part of it is you got to remember this is, you know, it's not a home game for A&M, but it's a home game for A&M.
It's not a home
when
game
A&M
for A&M.
When A&M scores, you see how loud it's going to be, and when Arizona State scores, you see how loud it's going to be.
No, but
it's a home game for A&M.
It's a home game for A&M, but it isn't. I mean, it's going to be more of a home game for A&M, but it's not. I'll put it this way. There's not going to be any, you know, they won't have the same part of the home field advantage is dressing in your own locker room,
right,
sleeping in the place you're used to sleeping, and all that stuff that goes with being the home team. They don't have that in Houston.
I don't think A&M's going to have any trouble hearing any of their calls.
No, but I don't think Arizona State is either.
Yeah,
I mean,
they might.
This is it will be interesting to see with the roof closed if this place is actually louder than Kyle Field. But there's going to be 30,000 fewer people there than there will be at Kyle Field the next week. So, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But either way,
But the answer to your first question is, no, it's not an upset. They're favored.
Well, here's some again, the counterpoints are, some say, this is from someone on Twitter, it says, they say the polls have it, lines are based on bets, right or wrong, we're all prone to some bad bets. And then someone else says, I get what y'all are saying, it's part of why preseason polls are so ridiculous, but 27 beating number 15 is an upset in their opinion.
I, especially at the beginning of the year, I don't believe that, because a lot of that poll stuff is where you finished last year. I hate to say that. It shouldn't be, but I think a lot of it is. I mean, South Carolina was 9 last year because of the 2 or 3 years they had had before that.
Sure.
They were 9 last year.
Well, but A&M, I can't remember what the line in that game was, but A&M would have busted the line.
I think
anyway.
South Carolina was favored by like 6. Or
yeah. I'm saying you got to go with the Vegas line.
You might say 3 of that would be because they were at home.
You got to go with the Vegas line. I think that's the rule now. That we've settled that, or at least we agree on it. Nothing's ever settled.
Yeah, if we agree on something, then it must be
pretty
right.
It's pretty much settled. I asked y'all what y'all are doing down in Houston. Still need some more, see what y'all are all up to. 229-1939 is the text line. Someone said they're going to the Fan React pregame party at the Gas Lamp. That's what Nick said. He'll be down there in Houston at that. Chris Buckner, who was a yell eater when I was in school and was on the show during SEC Media Days, is going to be, I think he's part of that Fan React thing. He might be running the whole thing, so he's going to be down at that deal. So I might stop by there, see what's going on. I like to just see the different, because it's not, the parking lot's not that big at NRG, so I don't know what the plan is around there, but I don't know, we'll find out Saturday. It's going to be a mess down there.
Plus, here everyone has their set spots already, and there it's kind of like, it's all new.
Someone said 70,000 at Kyle was still extremely loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just not. It's not a home game for. I'll put it this way. It's not a home game for A&M, but it's certainly an away game for Arizona State.
There you go.
Does that make sense? Like it's on the scale of, is it 100% a home game for A&M? No, it's like 65% a home game. But for Arizona State, it's a 100% away game. I mean, there's no home aspect to it for Arizona State. Maybe their band will be there, but if that, I mean, maybe their band is going to be there. I don't even know if that's going to happen. So anyway, we got that going on. All right, Kroon, before the big break, we had a text that I want to get to. It said Herb Street and the old dude from game day, their words, not mine, pick LSU for the playoffs because they both say Fournette is going to win the Heisman. Running game is very important is what this person says. My question to you, Kroon, is the running game very important?
It is very important, but I think what's more important is to have a balance, and LSU does not have a balance because as of right now, they haven't proven to anybody, and I know we haven't played a game yet, but I mean from what we've seen from their two quarterbacks last year, they haven't proven to anybody that they can throw the ball. Nor another thing with that is, do they really want to throw it that much?
Yeah.
And I understand having a guy like Fournette, that's a reason why you wouldn't want to, but I still think you have to have balance. You can't just do it with the pass. You can't just do it with the run. You know, it doesn't have to be 50-50, but you have to be able to prove that you can do both.
The thing is,
so that the defense respects both.
What it comes down to, and this is one of the reasons I do like A&M this year, is your offense has to have options. And because you might be the best passing team in the country, and that might be good enough to win you a national title. We've seen that before with teams with the best all-around offense. I mean, certainly, Oklahoma, when they had Sam Bradford, they got to the national title. They had some good running backs on that team too, but they could air it out. I mean, the team that was capable of throwing the ball, but they could also run it when they wanted to or when they needed to. And the thing is, because there's going to be days when you can't run, the defense either loads up for whatever reason, and you've got to be able to throw it. And there's going to be days you can't throw, whether it's the weather, which happens a lot, or if your quarterback's off. Everyone has a bad day every now and then. You've got to have some options. I don't know that LSU has that option. I mean, if they have a day where they run across a defensive line that's just in the zone and they shut down Fournette, or Fournette gets hurt, he's a little banged up.
Or they've got a great secondary, and so they're able to put a few more guys in the box to stop Fournette.
I don't know that LSU can throw.
I don't see it.
So that's one thing I do like about A&M this year. If they can run, and we'll find out against Arizona State, if they can run at all, just enough that if there's a day that the passing game isn't quite working and they can run into a heavy box, then I think A&M could certainly surprise people this year, because that's, as long as you have those options, then you're all right. But as far as the running game being very important in and of itself, I don't necessarily agree with that. I just, you know, the recent national champions have all just happened to be running teams, and some of that is by design. I mean, Oregon could have gone either way. I mean, they passed the ball a lot too, but they were a running team. And yeah, they weren't a national champion, but they were in there. They were in the playoff. Bama last year was an either or. They ran a lot of spread stuff, and they had good running backs too. Now Ohio State is a little more. They do a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
but
they're balanced. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You've got to be able to do – you can't just be all in on one or the other.
You don't see Georgia Tech winning national titles. They're a great running team.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my whole thing. Yeah, the running game, like I said, in and of itself isn't very important. Just because you can run doesn't mean you're going to win the national title. Fournette has no chance at the Heisman unless he runs back like six kickoffs. Because LSU's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, LSU – and well, of course, if – the old guy at ESPN and Herb Street are right, then maybe he does have a chance for a Heisman.
Yeah, that's kind of a causality.
But I don't see them winning those games, enough games for him to have that chance.
That's kind of a causation-correlation thing.
Especially,
if LSU is good enough to get to the national
especially
title.
When you've got other teams that are you know or you think are going to be in the playoff that do have real stars as well. Like Ohio State has a couple stars that, you know.
Well, yeah.
So
they almost have too many.
Yeah, they might counter each other. That's the problem with them.
Yeah.
That's their only problem.
So there you go. I don't know. To me, Fournette is. I know that people like him, and he's certainly, I think, one of the most talented guys in the country. But I'd put him outside looking at the Heisman. He doesn't meet my combination of qualifications. I think you have to have. Namely, he's not a quarterback, which right now is pretty much what you've got to be if you're going to win that thing.
And look, where'd Cooper finish last year? Was he like third or fourth?
Something. Was he even in the final? Was he even at the ceremony?
See, I've lost that now. But
you've lost.
But what
that
I'm
knowledge.
Saying is, well, my point on that is how great a receiver he was, and you still never really thought of him as. It was like, he's in the Heisman running, but you never thought he was going to win it.
No, he wasn't ever going to win it. John from Bryan said, play two tickets to Paradise for tomorrow's show because that's where we are headed. Aggie football beat the hell out of ASU. That's what somebody said. People are fired up, Krum. I don't know. We'll see who the balance teams are. You can't, like I said, you just can't just do one thing or the other. We'll find out if A&M can run it.
It started later, and you, even though it's just a few days, you almost have that feeling, the season is starting so much later than last year and other years.
I know. Well, because A&M started like August 31st last year, or maybe it was like August.
There's always, in the last years, there's always been, you know, these big games right at the end of August, it seems like.
I'm really interested in the Utah-Michigan game tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to see exactly how bad TCU just destroys for Minnesota. That game could be brutal, but anyway. Well, let's get to a break. When we come back, some of y'all asked some weird questions on Twitter that we will that we'll get to. And y'all can text us in your other questions as well, 229-1939. Stay with us. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Get 13 grand total savings on F-150s, 250s, and 350s at College Station Ford Lincoln. 13 grand! You may have noticed all the hot pink plates driving around town. That means someone just saved thousands at College Station Ford Lincoln. And you can save 13 grand on 2015 F-150s, 250s, and 350s at College Station Ford Lincoln. And if that's not good enough, get 0% for 72 months on all new 2015 Fords, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Find out more at collegestationford.com. Huge truck sales this summer have earned us extra trucks from the factory, along with extra incentives. 13 grand total savings on F-150s, 250s, and 350s only at College Station Ford Lincoln. Plus, all F-150s come with a 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Take a free ride today with 0% for 72 months at College Station Ford Lincoln. collegestationford.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Why choose Aggieland Fitness Dome? Because we have the equipment you can't find anywhere else. Each piece individually selected for performance. Dynamic group fitness classes, indoor boot camps, free childcare, and a full-size indoor basketball volleyball court. Join now and pay no dues until October. Mention this ad when you join, and you'll also receive 4 personal training sessions free. Get results your way at Aggieland Fitness Dome. Call 690-DOME or come see us on Highway 6 South and exit Barron Road.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Krause's Paint and Body, Jackie Voss Allstate Insurance, Citizen State Bank, and Memorial Funeral Chapel.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Looking to showcase your business and get your logo out in front of the public? One of the most cost-effective ways to advertise your business is for your staff to be dressed in shirts with your company's logo. Send Monograms and More your logo today and let them get you started by outfitting your company's staff. They'll send you a proof and you simply go online to their website or drop by their showroom at 1806 Welch in College Station and pick out the right shirt styles for your business. It's that simple. Call Monograms and More at 693-7773 or go online to monograms-more.com today.
Your home for fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio, 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
By the Eagle. All right, we asked people on Twitter earlier if they had any burning questions, Krum, and some are football related, some aren't. Someone said, do you prefer mint chocolate chip or, and now this isn't all Bluebell flavors.
We're talking about Bluebell here?
Yeah, you don't get to choose from the whole Bluebell universe. You just get these two, mint chocolate chip versus cookies and cream. Where you at, Krum?
Ooh, cookies and cream. But that is a close one. I'll buy either.
I'm not a big fan of either one. I got to be honest.
Oh, my gosh.
Here. Yeah, I got to be a little honest.
Jeez.
Well, because I either like the chocolate chip cookie dough.
Are you a plain vanilla guy?
I like chocolate chip cookie dough. The Millennium Crunch is a classic. Or I pretty much just go with vanilla. So if I had to pick one, I think the mint chocolate chip. It's a more unique. You know, I feel like I could get the same cookies and cream experience by crumbling up Oreos into my vanilla. So if I could only have one, it would be the mint chocolate chip, I think.
I always feel like the mint chocolate chip is I'm eating the Girl Scout cookies, the mints.
Yeah, the little thin mints. That's so to me that's an easy one. By the way, someone said they were tailgating in Marfa, Texas. See you there.
Ooh.
That's a little ways
away. That's a little ways away from the game.
Yeah. That's not exactly nearby.
That's a long little ways from the game.
It's like the whole state away. Yeah. You're probably closer.
You're actually closer to Arizona State.
Yeah. Say you're closer to Tempe than you are to Houston, probably.
That would be an interesting way to check that out.
Here's another.
Let's have a tailgate in the exact middle of where the two teams are from.
Well, that A&M LSU tailgate would be pretty easy. Was that the Beaumont? I guess would be Midway.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. We got the other question. Now, this started a like 30-tweet long debate on my timeline, Krum. Uh-huh. So I don't know if we can get this all in 6 minutes we have before the high school report. But the question was, would you rather, as a fan, not as a player, because that mixes some things up too, do you prefer an extremely hot game or an extremely cold
game.
I think the extremely,
extremely is the key here. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking if it's the hot one, it's 110, extremely cold.
As a fan?
Yeah, extremely cold. I'm going to say extremely cold in Texas. I'm going to say 20.
I was going to say I've been extremely – I've done both.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've been at Mile High. I've been at Mile High when – the people who had the season tickets didn't want to go, so they gave them to me type thing, you know,
yeah.
where it was like...
And we're going at Texas extremely cold here, not like a Minnesota...
Windy.
Yeah, or Denver extremely... We're not doing that. We're going like Texas extremely cold, mid-20s.
Okay, Texas extremely cold or Texas extremely hot. If it's during the day, cold. I prefer cold. If it's at night, I'll take hot. Because at night, at least, the sun's not bearing down on you. That's part of the key.
Well, then it... Yeah, but it's not that hot at night. I mean, that's the thing. You'd be in some sort of freakish...
So once you get to the night, you're saying you're no longer extremely?
Yeah. It's sort of like someone said, well, I would take the heat if it was...
So then I'd rather have extremely cold.
Yeah, my theory on the extremely cold is that...
If it's in Texas, like you're saying.
Yeah, you can always put on more clothes, and at your tailgate, you can burn stuff. I mean, you have a grill going, it makes it better. Mm-hmm. As opposed to an extremely hot game... Man, I've been out on games, you know, covering it, walking through West Campus, doing my little tailgate thing on Roundup I always do. Yeah. And, man, there's times when it's so hot and when people have those grills lit up, you're like, oh, I don't even want to get over by that.
When I first got up there, I went to a Texas Tech game and stood, like, at about the 30, about 20, 30 rows back. And it was in October. And it was – luckily, it was a great game. Otherwise, boy, I'm telling you, it would have been dangerous. Now, if you added – wet to extremely cold, then I might go back to the hot.
See, now this was part of the question too, because then pretty much everyone agreed on the cold. But then he goes, does it change if you add precipitation
into
the mix?
Yeah, then it changes.
But
that's
here's
miserable.
The thing: if it's precipitating, then it's not hot.
No, I'm talking about if precipitating when it's cold.
Well, I know. But we're saying obviously if they're both dry, you prefer the cold. But if it's wet at both. My thing was...
Well, then it's not hot anymore.
Right, that was my whole thing. Right. So I said...
But if you're saying if it's a like extremely bad weather day compared to an extremely hot weather day, then I might go hot. Because if bad includes precipitation, I don't want to be wet and cold. It's like golf. I don't want to be wet and cold. I could take the cold in golf. I could take the wet in golf. Well, but
now,
I can't take both.
Here's where I get really specific on this thing. For it to be hot, it has to be that awful and the worst experience at Kyle Field is if it rains and then the sun comes out. That is absolutely the worst. But the key here is they had already established that it's extremely cold. So if it's precipitating, then it's either ice or snow. And I don't see that enough in my life to not hate it. Yeah, like, I would like it. I'd be like, it's snowing at Kyle Field. This
actually,
is awesome.
If it was snowing, yeah, I'd take that over. Because you don't really get...
So we've established that it's extremely cold.
It's as weird as it sounds. You don't get wet when it snows.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. So
not like
if
when it's raining.
If we've already established that it's extremely cold, then I think you're fine there. The worst weather is if it's like 35 and raining, because then it's not cold enough.
Yeah, it's not cold enough.
Yeah, like it was at LSU, at LSU 2 years ago, or at home. Someone said it was at the Auburn game last year. It was cold and raining because that was miserable. It was the Missouri game last year that it was cold and raining because that was miserable.
Right.
the game at Auburn, it was a little chilly, but that was a nice day. I think because I remember riding outside. At the Auburn game last
it's been,
year.
That was cool.
Auburn.
Both times they've gone to Auburn, it's been cool.
Yeah.
Because
when
I went the first time, it was pretty cold, too, because I remember we all complained about being an outdoors press box
because
we were cold.
Well, I don't mind the cold.
In fact, I even wrote in the back.
I don't mind the cold at the outdoor press box. To me, it's the Mississippi State's outdoor press box is horrible because of the stupid cowbells. I mean, they're so annoying that you can't hear anything. And then at LSU a couple years ago, there was like rain blowing into the press box, which is bad for your electronics. And then you have papers sorted out. So I didn't like that one either. But so there you go. Someone said wet. I'm not going to say exactly what they said, but they said wet is bad for tailgaters. Yeah. You don't want it wet. But again, if we've already established it's extremely cold, I'm taking the cold every time.
Yep.
There we go. We settled it. Kroom?
If it's Texas, extremely cold.
Right. Now, if I'm in Minnesota, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. No. You don't want to go to a Broncos game, sit on the top level when it's 6 degrees and windy.
No.
And windy.
No, I want absolutely no part of that. By the way,
I did it when I was young and I didn't like it so much. I can't imagine what it'd be like now.
What's funny, too, though, I was trying to think of the coldest game I've ever been to, and I was at a Texas-Kansas game when I was a kid, and it was absolutely freezing. But it's one of those things when you're a kid, you feel colder, I guess. I don't know why that is. Yeah, because the coldest games I can remember are from when I was a kid, despite the fact that I know for a fact I've been to colder games since I've been older. They just didn't feel as cold, I guess. I don't know. There was a – I remember the –
See, as I get older, I can't put up with the extremes as much.
The two from when I was a kid were that Texas-Kansas game, and there was an A&M Texas game at Kyle Field where it was so cold that we went to get hot chocolate, and by the time we got back to our seats, it was already cold. I mean, it was freezing.
Went to a Broncos-Chiefs game where it was almost zero.
Ugh.
And the thing they sold there was hot Dr. Pepper. That's how they would.
What?
Yep, hot Dr. Pepper. That was the drink.
Ugh! Kroom! That's disgusting.
Hey, when it's 0 degrees almost, it wasn't disgusting. Believe me,
it
was good.
Hot anything else sounds better than that.
I don't know. Hot Dr. Pepper. And people were not turning it down.
That's a thing? I don't like
that was a thing.
I don't like that's a thing.
That was a thing at 0 degrees.
By the way, you see the Rangers?
I'm sure there were some people that put some other things in with their hot dog pepper.
Well, yeah.
But at age 13 or 14, I wasn't able to do that.
If they're assuming you've got a flask on you, then hot Dr. Pepper sounds pretty good. Kroom, last night, the Rangers still home. You saw that?
Yeah. Didn't see it, but I heard about it. Yeah. It was like it was easy, right?
It
was like the pitcher didn't even realize he had a base runner, let alone a guy on third.
Carlos Gomez tried it a couple of days ago for the Astros. Didn't work out.
Yeah, that didn't work. Although I thought he was safe. Even though they went to the replay, I still thought he was safe, and they still called him out.
Yeah.
On that one. I did see that one.
Someone said that's why the Broncos trash can man is in the NFL Hall of Fame.
That guy. Yeah. For a number of reasons, he should be there.
Kroom, I go home and watch the Astros.
Get him from being outside.
I go home and watch the Astros at night, and it's making me nervous. It's September 2nd, 3.5 games up on the Rangers. It's getting too late in the season. I don't like it. I'm used to the Astros.
But they'd still be a wild card.
I know. So, I'm just saying I'm getting nervous.
Okay.
I don't like Astros nerves tying into my football regular season nerves. It's supposed to be over by then.
Okay.
So
in other words, you liked the 60-100 two seasons.
Yeah, it was over.
60
was
wins, 102 losses.
It was over in May. It was
because
over in May.
Because you had no more nerves about it.
Someone said, was that A&M Texas game that was freezing in 1993 on Thanksgiving Day? I was there. Yeah, I believe that was the one. I was like 8 years old, and it was absolutely freezing. Someone said we were so bundled up we had to stand sideways. I mean, that was definitely the coldest game I've been to at Kyle Field. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was unbelievable, Kroom. Anyway, there you go. We got to go to break.
You're right. The cold, you can prepare for the cold.
Yeah. Well, and they have, now that these days, they have, like, hand warmers, and you could probably, like, charge up a battery that runs a heater in your jacket or something.
Plus, if it's a good game and there's 100,000 people there, that should help.
Yeah, and you can warm yourself up. Yeah, it's obviously cold. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, time for the high school report. Stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. College Station police were involved in a foot chase yesterday morning with a pair of 13-year-old boys accused of taking a bicycle from a home north of Consolidated High School. A neighbor witnessed the teens going into an open garage of a home on Medina Street near Southwest Parkway. A short time later, they were seen by an officer at Harvey Mitchell in Rio Grande. The boys took off to the north past Bee Creek and were caught on Langford, where they were arrested. Observant neighbors helped the victim of a residential theft track down a pair of heavy iron chairs that were taken off her porch earlier this summer. College Station police arrested 37-year-old Derek McGress Monday night for theft with prior convictions. According to the arrest report, one of her neighbors saw a man struggle with carrying the chairs past their homes. In addition to the theft charge, McGress is also in jail for a parole violation. It's been a week since the most activity was scheduled for undercover military training exercises at Texas A&M's Disaster City and Riverside campus. Brazos County Sheriff Chris Kirk says there was none of the public activity that was seen in Bastrop County at the beginning of the Jade Helm operation earlier this summer.
That would have shown up on our activity log as suspicious behavior and investigated by our deputies, and I'm not sure that we had anything that went to that level, and certainly none of the patrol deputies reported that. If they're on schedule, then they've concluded their part that was going to take place here in Brazos County, and I've not heard any difference.
Military officials have not responded to our requests for an update on the success of their training in Brazos and Burleson counties. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
The Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before or after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, and Subway.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
More information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Visit Zone1150.com. Now. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier is proudly supporting the youth of our community. The guest today on the show is A&M Consolidated tennis coach Daniel Marshall. And I believe David recorded that interview a little bit earlier today, and we will take a listen to that now.
We're talking with A&M Consolidated tennis coach Daniel Marshall, and coach just got back from playing at Willis last night, and that's part of your district. Tell me how that went.
It went fairly well. We won 16-3. Willis is a much improved team. Placed third last year at area tournament, so for us it was a pretty good win.
Pretty good district, actually. I mean, you've got some quality people that you're competing against. You dominated it last year, and guys got to the state tournament in team tennis. What are the prospects right now?
Well, we're hoping to make another run at it, but it'll be a lot more interesting this year. Last year, you know, our team was loaded, and it was the expectation to go to the state tournament, and we kind of knew we were, you know, we were a strong enough team. But this year we lost, you know, or we were missing five senior boys from that team, three of which went to state. You know, you have Evan Gann and Julian Dunmore, who got third in boys doubles. You have Diego Cruz Vespa, who got third in boys singles, gone from the team. You have Connor Dunmore, who's playing college tennis at Texas Lutheran. So, and then we have Brad Pittman, who's no longer with us, who wasn't a senior. So that's five guys in the starting lineup that aren't here with us anymore. And so we have a lot of young people playing, and you know, it's their first time playing in varsity. So some of them are taking their licks right now. They're not where they need to be. But that doesn't matter. I mean, as long as they're there in October when it counts.
All right, let's. We talked about team tennis, but I saw Susan Brewer, the coach at Belleville, coaching volleyball last night. You don't coach volleyball, dude, like she does, do you?
No.
You're leaving that to Coach Kazmierski here?
That's it, just one sport. You know, we play year-round, so yeah. You know, we started August 3rd, you know, and we'll finish May 16th or something like that. So when I say year-round, we're pretty much year-round.
Well, the point I was going to make was last time I had seen her, she was over in at A&M, and she was squeegeeing off courts while we waited for those long state championship delays that we had because of the weather. That was such a weird deal last year. You ever been through anything like that? I mean, we had matches that started like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I think we were done mixed doubles at 3:30, and then I had Diego playing at 8, or scheduled for 8. So by the time I got home at like 4:19, I slipped into bed, and then I was up at 6 o'clock again, you know, so didn't even get 2 hours of sleep to get back. So it was one of those situations where the entire year was that way. I mean, when you really sit back and think about it, we've had rain all year. It was a rainy season, and every major tournament, any tournament that mattered or counted, had some type of rain in it. So it was nothing new for us. It was different. But we had a, you know, there was, what could you do? You know, I hate making the decision there. You know, it wasn't me, but I'd hate to have to be the guy making decisions. Do you postpone it? Do you put it off to another date? You got people flying in from El Paso.
Right.
So it was just a weird deal.
Well, as long as we've kind of worked our way in that direction, should they split this thing up? Because part of the problem was you had so many people trying to get on courts. I mean, once we were delayed, think maybe they should send half of them one way and half of them another?
Well, since you put me on the spot, I'll answer the question. I know that a lot of people think it's a good idea to have them all together. Since we have six divisions, I'm the other way. I think 3 and 3 would probably be good. You know, have the top three divisions and the bottom three divisions play. There's a big difference, too. And even between 6A and 5A, there's a big difference gap between the quality of players at the state tournament. And so there's a bigger difference between the 6A and the 1 or 2A. You know, they do have some good players. I mean, Austin Caloris came out of... I guess Franklin over here, maybe.
Right.
And so they do have some, but sometimes the level is just a big difference. And I would like to see it separated. But I think the UIL, the way they're staffed and the way they don't want to have to do that.
You know what they told us at coaching school this summer? They said, we're doing it for you guys in the media. We don't have to send you to two different locations.
Right.
I'm not sure I necessarily believe that.
Right. I mean, in my opinion, probably easier for them to run one big tournament,
you know.
When we have the facilities, and they're bogged down with other things. They got, you know, baseball, softball, a bunch of different sports that they're working with, and so they're trying to use their staff the right way. So, I mean, I understand what they're doing, but I'm with you. I prefer them to be separated. Probably.
Okay. I have no problem with A&M hosting everything, but I thought it just got a little bit too much because of that. All right. We talked about you going to team tennis last year, and you do have obviously a lot of rebuilding to do with a lot of you guys coming up, but your schedule looks like a team that went to state in team tennis last year. You've got a really busy, very difficult schedule.
Right. I mean, the only way is for them to get experience. So what I talk about all the time is, you could have the best coach, private coach, high school coach. You could have the best coach in the world. He can't teach you experience. The only way is to get experience on the tennis courts. And so I tell our kids when you come into the program, I'm going to get you 100 free matches by the time the spring comes around, you know, that you get out there and play. And we're not scheduling down. You know what I mean? We're keeping up and playing all the top teams. I mean, we've played Montgomery this year. You know, we've been to state so many years. Katie Taylor has been to state a couple years. And There's going to be times we play teams like Allen. We're going to play teams that are just clearly better than us, you know, and there's going to be some teams later this year that are just going to probably, you know, take it to us, and that's okay. We don't ever want to get complacent, and we don't ever want to play down. When we have to, we'll play up all the time just so our kids are always looking up and saying, okay, well, I got to get there. I got to get there. And so that's our plan, kind of.
Well, is it easier to get these people on your schedule when you've been to state and you've got that kind of history? Because not everybody wants to just play any team. You know, they're looking for that kind of competition as well.
I guess I've been around for a while, and I know a lot of people. And so when I make a call, it's usually, I mean, they'll play. I've been very, like I said, very fortunate. Like, I know a lot of these guys already, so it's easy to call and say, hey, let's set up a match, and like, okay, no problem. But you're right, sometimes some teams are just a lot better, or sometimes I have to refuse matches as well, you know, try to, you know, take a step back and say, well, that's not appropriate for us. But sometimes it is. I mean, we play some weaker teams. I won't say which ones, but because we have some of those type of teams in our district, and our kids have to get used to that kind of ball as well.
Yeah, I remember talking to you when you first got this job, and you were first over here, and we were, I think, over at Bryan, and just kind of carrying on a conversation. You liked this program from the get-go, didn't you? You liked the opportunity for what you could do here at A&M Consolidated.
Right. I mean, this is a community of tennis, and I knew that, you know, we have brothers and sisters. I mean, I was telling you earlier today, I have four sets of brothers and sisters on my team. That's eight kids. And two are seniors, Rachel Tyndall and Sydney Pham, and they'll be gone. And then their little brothers and sisters will come up, Joey Tyndall and Ethan Pham. You know, and so I still have next year, and I love that. I love the community of tennis. You know, they do a great job at Pebble Creek and Miramont of developing the kids, and now at Briarcrest working with the little ones. And so the community plays tennis, and if you come out here, even last night, there was probably 24 people out here at 10:45 last night, you know, and so the community enjoys tennis. I enjoy being part of this community, and, you know, we tend, and I tell the kids this, but sometimes we overachieve. These kids have it in them to outdo themselves sometimes. They know how to get in a match and overachieve. You know, you put in perspective last year, Dunmore and again, they could have got fourth in district. They're one shank, they're one bad call away from getting fourth place in district. And all year long I told Evan and Julian, you know, you guys have potential, you can make the state tournament. So just see what happens if one of those shanks or one of those bad calls goes their way. They're fourth in district. They don't believe. But they win. Then they win again. Then they pull the upset against College Station, you know, and go to the state tournament. Then they win, or they win at regionals, go to the state tournament. You know, they overachieved. They're good players, but they overachieved in a positive way. And our kids, they're not the – that's just one example. Now, that's a great example. But we've had some other kids on the team that have overachieved, won matches that maybe on paper they shouldn't win. And that's a good thing. And that's what we have here. And so I enjoy that.
I enjoyed doubles last year because of those guys were grinders, man. Those guys worked their way through against some guys sometimes that looked a little bit better on the court than they did, but they just continued to get the win. And man, I think boys doubles around here was about the most entertaining thing going in sports around here last year.
Right. It was interesting. You know, it was very interesting. You know, I thought Sugawala Miller, in my opinion, were probably the best team in the region. But, you know, things go bad sometimes, and good things go right for some people and bad for some people, and they had some bad luck. And, of course, they'll probably be back this year again and make a run at it. But it was entertainment. It was the most fun. I mean, you know, that playback match in district, it was 4-6, 7-6, 7-6. I mean, as close as can be. And so it was entertaining, and those guys, you know, the way that they came up, you know, and made it through, they weren't everybody's pick to, oh, these guys will be in the state, you know, semifinals, but they did. And so that was pretty good.
All right, we'll do this again in the spring when that rolls around. But I talk a little bit about the schedule that's ahead. You've got a pretty busy schedule before you get to the point of playing area and regional, right, things like that. But what's ahead?
So we schedule pretty tough. I mean, we still have Clear Lake on September 11th coming here, so that's next Friday. And then we go to Georgetown And play Georgetown, and then we go to Waco Midway and play Waco. And then we have a match here, can't think of the date right now off the top of my head, but Cy Ranch coming in, which is a very, very, very strong team. I mean, top to bottom, boy side, you know, all supers to about 8 or 9, picked up 3 girl supers this year and 2 champ girls. I mean, his team is loaded. They beat College Park already, and they're coming into town. And then we have Langham Creek, who's traditionally always really good. We still have the Woodlands on the schedule. So we're not playing, you know, we still have a lot of teams to play to get us prepared for the area tournament and then for the regional tournament. I would say this, we're not the favorite like we were last year, you know, going into the tournament, but we have a shot, you know, and we're trying to make the best of our shot. We think, we're hoping it'll be us, you know what I mean? We're working hard to make sure that it is us, but we're definitely, you know, we don't have all those seniors like we did last year. That's, you know, senior leadership that we had that kind of pushed us through. So if we can get the right chemistry, if we can be, you know, a team united and we can fight for it, I like our chances, you know. And we need a little bit of lady luck, you know, and that combination will get us through.
And the ultimate goal is to get back out here to A&M. So you're just right across the street, right?
Right now, that's the only goal, you know what I mean? And, we fall short there. We didn't have a successful season. No matter what our record says, you know, because we have the ability to get there, you know, we just have to get better, you know. And so where we start in August, you know, at the end of September, we better be a little bit better. At the end of October, we need to be a lot better. And so if we can progress and get better as a team, then I like our chances. But our ultimate goal is to get to the state tournament. Anything short of that wasn't a fully successful season for us.
All right, Daniel Marshall, thanks so much. And good luck. Have a great season.
Right,
and we'll do it again in the spring.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
There you go. That was today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Sweating through another barn burner at your team's bar?
Sure am.
Wish you had some ice-cold refreshment?
You bet.
Then Coors Light may be right for you. Could result in meeting new people, epic fist bumps, epic forearm bumps, epic or chest bumps, touchdown dancing, breakdancing, line dancing, dancing like nobody's watching, awesome refreshment, refreshment for the win, and one-of-a-kind Rocky Mountain cold refreshment. Ask your bartender for Coors Light today.
Definitely.
When cold refreshment calls, Coors Light answers. Frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
You love soccer?
I couldn't beat it.
Then Chip Howard is not for you.
Sweet.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
And his hand fell behind him as his arm had reached around. Oh, and she looked at the window. She watched the shade go down. It was a private conversation.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation. Powered by the Eagle. Darren Benson's in here to tell us what's going on out there in the news.
As always, lots of stuff going on. We will tell you about the A&M Consolidated High School band as gearing up for another season under some new leadership this year.
All right.
After 4 years as an assistant director, Peter DePloy is looking to reignite the program and make it more active in the community. So we'll tell you all about the A&M Consolidated band. You know, I saw them out practicing one day in the summer. You know, they practice in the morning before it gets too hot. I was in band, and so it was like, you know. Anyway, we'll tell you all about the new leadership at the A&M Consolidated band. The Bryan High School band, also under new leadership. We're going to tell you about that in the coming days. But tomorrow,
they were pretty good last week.
Yes.
I've seen the Bryan band.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the College Station band yet, or Consol band yet.
Well, the Bryan band's been in the news over the summer as the old director was resigned after some back and forth. So,
okay.
But tomorrow, look forward to, we'll introduce you to Peter DePloy.
All right.
Who's been the assistant director for a few years. We'll also tell you about the expansion plans at the Larry J. Ringer Library. There's a meeting tonight with the architects looking for public feedback on the expansion of the library. The expansion was approved by voters in the 2008 bond election, so they're getting around to doing that now with a public meeting. Again, that's tonight at the library. So look for details about that in tomorrow's paper if you don't make it. We'll also tell you about Silver Taps is scheduled for Tuesday at Texas A&M to honor six students who died since the spring when the last Silver Tap ceremony was held. So we'll tell you who those students are. So if you're not familiar with the Silver Tap ceremony, we'll tell you what that's all about. But it's one of the university's most solemn traditions that they have on campus. So that's scheduled for next week. Also, we'll tell you about some Brenham teens who were indicted in a Waco area robbery spree. It looks like three separate Waco area businesses were robbed over the summer. Three 17-year-olds from Brenham are formally charged today, it looks like. So we'll tell you about that. And lots of other good stuff. Of course, we're working on a lot of Kyle Field stuff. I've seen a little preview of the faces of Kyle Field. Looks pretty good.
There's a lot going on with Kyle Field stuff.
Yes. Yes. So we've got a lot of Kyle Field stuff. Also, I'll tell people about our high school football. I don't know if they mentioned it. They probably didn't mention it in the high school report. But high school football, we're going to be sending out. If you want your high school football headlines on Saturday morning, we'll just send those to you directly in an email. So you can just click on the links. You get an email. So we've got that. You can go to our website and sign up for that. To get an email with all the high school news. So that and lots more. Of course, a reminder to get our app at the App Store and the Google Play Store for all of the news right on your smartphone or even your tablet. It looks really good on the tablet. So go and get our app. And remember, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BCS Eagle.
Cool. Lots of good stuff in coming days. Get out there, check out that high school stuff. Another big weekend in the high school rank. Man, high school season just comes and goes, Darren. It's already week two. They only have 10 weeks, so I guess they have 11 weeks because they have a bye week in there. But already flying along in the high school ranks. Check that out. We will be back tomorrow. It will be Thursday, which means Coach G will join us to talk about Aggie soccer. They are going on the road to take on the defending champs, Darren, Florida State on Friday. A little bit of the shine off that game because Florida beat Florida State last week, but they play Florida in like 2 weeks, so it works out. A&M with a lot of big games coming there. We'll see who else we can get on the line tomorrow. Who even knows? Darren, it's always a mystery. It's always excitement.
Maybe Kroom will be on the show.
I can guarantee Kroom will be on the show. In fact, we are going to make Kroom go through the "Which Aggie football player are you?" quiz live on the show tomorrow.
Excellent.
He hasn't done it yet, so we're going to make him do it live on the show, and we'll see what Aggie football player Kroom is. You got a prediction?
One of the old guys, John David Crow, or
yeah, Kroom
John
seems
Kimbrough.
Very. He seems very old school ish.
John Kimbrough.
Yeah. Well, he'll get somebody along those lines. We will find out who it is on the show tomorrow. You will not want to miss it. So come back for that. Thanks for being with us today. This has been Aubrey Bloom and Darren Benson.